Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson today. And we're talking about the Niners. Good weekend for them. Everybody lost in their division. First place all by themselves. But do we have a quarterback situation? Do we have a quarterback issue?
Well, actually,
do you have buyer's remorse about Brock Purdy?
You don't have a quarterback issue because Mac Jones has been awesome. You know, we don't have a problem. Brock's out, Mac's in, got a good chance to win.
The minute that toe feels good, we got an issue. Or do we?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we have an issue because I think Brock Purdy's going to be the quarterback. See, this thing, too, like, I don't know if you have the sound on your board. You heard Mac Jones after the Thursday game, right? He may feel different internally, but do you have that sound about him on the very subject we're discussing?
I think, you know, they brought me here to play as a backup, and that's my job, and Brock's the starter of this team, and right now he's dealing with something, and for him to go out there last week and play when you know he probably wasn't at full health, like, he cares about this team, so I'm just trying to get some wins for him so it helps us down the line. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. Like, I've been in his position. I've been a starter. And you want your backup to go in there and win because at the end of the season, that could be the hit or miss between a playoff or not. So,
saying the right things. You know why?
That's a guy.
Because he went to Alabama, and he's been to a big-time program, and he knows.
Wait, sorry. Say the first part of that sentence again.
Went to Alabama.
He gets it because he went to Alabama. Have those words ever been uttered before?
Well, he's got pedigree playing under Saban.
Oh, sorry. You thought you meant as a student.
You know what? Here's something you don't know about Alabama. It's a very good academic university.
Oh, for
I have family that went there.
For what?
I'll tell you right now. My nephew went to Alabama, and you know what he does now? He's a nuclear engineer on a sub.
Wow.
He's in a submarine as we speak. Somewhere in the Indian Ocean, maybe. Or
that's
China.
Pretty cool, actually.
I don't know. Outside China.
No, but that's a guy who knows what's going on.
49er fans, it's okay if you're scared about Brock Purdy. You pay the wrong guy. Evan asked the question whether anybody out there who's a 49er fan is having a little bit of buyer's remorse.
Well, it's what you were tiptoeing around. I just think that a lot of people are using the injury to address how they really feel about Brock Purdy, which is they're concerned, there's buyer's remorse. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't feel how you feel. I'm just not there yet personally. I don't feel as concerned about Brock Purdy as I'm hearing a lot of people feel. And if you, like, more than welcome to call in and tell me that I'm off something, but the one game that he was healthy this year, they won. And the one game that he wasn't healthy, they lost.
Yeah.
Oh, but he got lucky.
Well, he's got four picks and four touchdowns. Did I tell you the numbers over the last 17 games?
Yeah, and in a year that was awful for everybody. Okay, you know who else was bad last year? Nick Bosa. You know who else was bad last year? Trent Williams. You know who else didn't play a whole lot last year? Christian McCaffrey. Like, it wasn't just Brock Purdy who had a down year. There's a lot of high-paid quality players in this football team that did not have good seasons last year, but we focus on the quarterback, and I get it.
Philmo Mike is in San Francisco, wants to jump in on the Niners. What's up, Philmo? How you doing, man?
I'm actually in the town, but it's all love.
All right.
I just want to say, I don't really care about the quarterback situation. Play who's healthy, right? And then, but the ultimate issue is it's not even a quarterback because they're similar quarterbacks. It's more so about the offensive line. Offensive line sucks, right? And so we got to get better on the line because no matter who's quarterbacking, if the line is getting hella, heavy pressure all the time, they're not going to have no time. Now, Mac Jones is playing great, right? But just play who's healthy. If old boy ain't healthy, Brock Purdy ain't healthy, don't play him. Also, our run game, it goes back to the offensive line. Now, Dante Whitner had a great point, and Deebo Samuel's having a hell of a season. All them shifts and all the motions that Deebo used to do, it caused hesitancy amongst the linebackers. You could say, oh, he's washed up. No. Obviously, he's not. He's having a great season. Shout out to everybody that drafted Deebo Samuel on their fantasy squad because he's balling. Anyway, with that being said, we have to find somebody, Whitner was saying, that can pose a threat like a Deebo Samuel, and that's one of the reasons why our run game on top of the offensive line has not produced anything. If we want to go anywhere, guess what we got to have? The same defense that we've been rocking with these last 4 or 5 weeks and a way, 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 way better run game. Booyah! Shout out to Steiny one time.
Thanks, Philmo. I appreciate that. I mean, it can't be any... I mean, it can be that simple.
What, run the ball better?
Well, no, just who's healthier? Play the guy who's healthier, Mac or Purdy.
Yeah, and that's why I think this weekend I would start Mac Jones because I think he's healthier than Brock Purdy. He wasn't on the injury report, by the way, for Sunday. Like, I know he was wearing a brace and he looked like he was in pain at different points in the game, but he was not on the injury report. There was no designation for Mac Jones going into that on Thursday for that football game. So he was clearly the healthier one, and I guess I just don't expect Brock Purdy's turf toe to get better by this weekend drastically.
Well, and as it relates to Mac Jones, I don't think he was on the injury report on Friday after the game. Remember,
Kyle Shanahan didn't talk about him.
Yeah, and that was surprising. You like Nick Saban?
I do, actually.
Yeah, I like him a lot. This is what he had to say on Pat McAfee's show about Mac Jones.
I'm so happy for Mac, but I think Mac was one of those guys that was in bad situations in New England relative to coaching and all that type of stuff, and who was the offensive coordinator, and how did he get developed when he came in the league, and he hasn't been in great circumstances. I think right now he is in a really good circumstance with Shanahan, their offense, the players he's got around him, because he is a guy that will execute. He's really, really smart, so he's going to do exactly what you tell him to do. And he wants to know exactly what you want him to do. And I'm not sure he always got told exactly what it was expected of him before going to the 49ers.
Oh, he sounds like a great quarterback for Kyle Shanahan. Just keep your mouth shut and do what you're told.
He's sticking up for his guy. And in the process, also throwing a shot at his boy, Bill.
I know.
Yeah, well, he didn't really have good coaching in New England. Yeah, not like a guy who won 6 Super Bowls or anything. But I also think, too, it's... You know, like Nick Saban, so what? Jalen Hurts, although I guess he ran him out. Tua. They got Bryce Young and Mac Jones. Do you give him credit for Jalen Hurts or no?
Yeah.
He won the Heisman at Oklahoma.
But didn't he win it with Alabama?
Well, he got benched in the game that Tua then won it for Alabama.
Yes, then he gets credit.
Why does he get credit for him then?
Because he responded to Saban's tough love. He looked in the mirror and said, I know why Tua's playing. I got to get better.
Yeah, that's why he transferred.
Exactly. So, in a roundabout way, Saban did.
Yeah,
what
I don't really give
him
credit for Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
So he's still looking for a quarterback that's going to succeed in this league. I think that's why he's talking like that.
So's Kyle.
I mean, it's not like he doesn't get credit for Joe Namath, doesn't get credit for Bart Starr, doesn't get credit for Ken Stabler. Those are other Crimson Tide quarterbacks.
Thank you.
He doesn't get credit for those guys. He's right now working on AJ McCarron, Mac Jones, and Tua Tagovailoa. And Bryce Young, sorry, he was 8-25 as a starter.
Any more
big win yesterday?
Any
though.
More tidbits?
No,
big
just,
win from home. Panthers?
Yeah. And the Niners. Because they beat the Cardinals.
Cardinals are 2-3, by the way. I said they were 3-2. My bad. Let's go to Lilo and Hayward. Wants to talk about Purdy. Could become the best backup in football soon.
Highest paid.
What's up, Lilo?
Lilo, good morning. Good
hey,
afternoon,
Lilo.
Fellas. I like to call in. My whole thing with Purdy is he got injured the first week, but my question to you all is how much healthier could he have been before the first game? And then when I heard him speak, he said it was an injury that took place over the course of the game. I thought his decision to play, Shanahan's decision to play him against Jacksonville wasn't in his best interest. But if you go back to history, the way his old man did RG3, they run him in there. If they can play, if they get out there, they're going to use him. So all that talk with McCaffrey and touches and all that, if he say he can play, he's going to use him. But with back to Purdy, I think the only thing that I see where Mac Jones, and I can't believe it, I am a Raiders fan, and I was rooting for San Francisco and New England. Mac Jones and that other one over there in New England, they got something to say about who can play quarterback. They really do. And I wish them the best. And I hope they just leave. Business is going to make Brock Purdy. He should really just be out the whole season, honestly. Because if that contract kicks in, let the business talk. Somebody in that organization has to kick in with the business. Hey, next year we really going to be paying him. If we got to flop this season and roll with Mac, that's what we do. And that picture with Mac picking himself up with his pants hanging off, boy, that epitomized that whole game right there. And I'm done, fellas. Thank you.
Thanks, Lilo. Appreciate the call.
That is true. He was looking like a guy just picking up wet clothes from the pool. Pants hung down, shoulder pads all ajar. I mean, he was a gladiator on Thursday. I'll give him that.
No doubt about it. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. Anybody having buyer's remorse on Brock Purdy? Brock Purdy. I'm not there yet, but this is Evan, kind of where Shanahan's history comes in for me. So I don't, after watching Kyle Shanahan for 8 years, saw him pay one franchise quarterback they moved off of, saw him draft a franchise quarterback they moved off of, and while it's too early to talk about moving off Purdy, obviously, I'm just constantly reminded that things change. And if Purdy's not altogether healthy, you've got to play Mac Jones, and then it's got to play out and see how it plays out, and then maybe you have a decision to make, maybe you don't.
Brock Purdy's the starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers.
For now.
His contract doesn't kick until next year. Even if it's the incorrect choice and this turns out to be a dud, he's going to be the starting quarterback next year. Like whether you like him or not, well, I don't think he's going anywhere.
But in fair, I'm not saying that either.
Mac
but
Jones is not going to change that.
But over the course of Garoppolo's tenure with the 49ers, they ended up having a lot of questions about his durability. So we're in the middle of a season now, and Purdy's hurt, and we don't really know how it's going to play out. And so now that becomes a little bit of a question, like Purdy's durability. And the one thing the 49ers always said was it was a combination of durability and performance. And his performance last year wasn't quite as great as the previous years. There were reasons. And now he's a little bit banged up. Those are just two things that were a big reason why the Niners moved off Garoppolo. And yes, it's too early to do that, but Mac Jones, and I do think the way Mac Jones has quarterbacked this team is a big part of this. Fans love what Purdy did on Thursday and that kind of gutsy game. I'm not saying Purdy can't do that, but when you see it from a backup, that means something.
No, but I also think that the body of work matters in what we're talking about. If Mac Jones was a rookie, Steiny, if he was someone who had never played in the NFL and was taking the team by storm, much in the way that Brock Purdy did, I think we might have a controversy because he's fresh, he's brand new. But there's a body of work, like there's a resume to Mac Jones's career. And I understand Saban and Schefter saying that he didn't have the environment in New England and certainly not in Jacksonville. But I think we have seen what Mac Jones is eventually going to look like. And right now he looks really good. But I just feel like eventually there's going to be a game or a few games where there's a reason why he's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. And that he took a 2-year, not a 1-year. By the way, I think this is important too. Sam Darnold last year took a 1-year deal with the 49ers. Because why? He was previously a starter and was trying to become a starter again. The fact that Mac Jones took a 2-year deal with the Niners tells me he was looking for stability rather than an opportunity to prove again he's a starter and then go get another job. If Mac Jones really thought he was better than Brock Purdy, or his agent felt like Mac Jones was the 33rd best quarterback in the NFL that was just a snap away from Sam Darnolding his way back into being a starter, why would he take a 2-year deal? He also isn't going anywhere because the Niners are going to need him.
Well, because as of this summer, people didn't think he was a starting quarterback. And maybe what they see after the 49ers, they'll think he is a starting quarterback.
I'm talking about what he felt. Like Sam Darnold, again, took a 1-year deal. And people thought that he was just about done. He was terrible in New York, not very good in Carolina.
I mean, I'm not being smart here. I think a guy like Mac Jones is smart enough to know, like, I think this is a stepping stone job, 49er backup.
For sure.
Because Kyle can make you look pretty good. So,
well, but Sam Darnold got a starting job with the Vikings, and he only played one game. And it was a game at the end of the season the Niners didn't need. I mean, there was no guarantee that he was going to play at all two years ago.
Let me throw this at you. If you say to me it's like you're wiping away Brock Purdy's 2 good years, is it fair for me to say what about Mac Jones's rookie year in 2021?
He put up the same numbers that Brock Purdy did last year when everyone said Brock Purdy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He wasn't very good. 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. The difference was the Patriots won games. If you just look at the numbers, they're the exact same numbers.
I mean, I'm just saying that he had success for the Patriots in his rookie year.
He did.
So, like, he's got the potential to do it, and maybe they caught up to him in New England, and now he's put in a new situation here. He's taking advantage of it, and you're right that another shoe's going to drop at some point where we'll start realizing that Mac Jones is who he is, and he's probably not the best starter that you could get. That's another thing that very well could happen. He can go play the next two games, lose them both. Purdy comes back, and everything's back to normal.
I mean, I just feel like the way we're talking about Mac Jones is the way we talked about Jimmy Garoppolo.
All right.
I'm just hearing a lot of that from 2017, even 2019, that this guy is, you know, he's doing crazy things. And again, I would implore people to go look at some of Jimmy's early wins. They were with not very good players around him. They were against playoff caliber teams. There were some close wins where things went their way. And Jimmy turned into the guy. And now we think that Jimmy Garoppolo 5 years later absolutely stinks. And I'm not saying Mac Jones is as bad as Jimmy. I don't really know. What he's done is not should not be discounted. It's valuable. But when Mac Jones said at the podium about his job is to put Brock Purdy eventually, when and if he returns from his turf toe, in a better position to make the playoffs and help raise the ceiling of this football team. That's Mac Jones' job. And I just don't understand why every time he wins a game, we have to come in the next day and say, he should be the starting quarterback of this football team. I think that he gives the Niners a good chance to win on Sunday because Brock Purdy's hurt. But if Brock Purdy was 100%, there's no doubt in my mind that Brock Purdy's the one walking out on the field in Tampa.
I'm not disagreeing with that because Mac Jones might not be healthy Sunday. Purdy may be healthier. I got to hear the way Shanahan talks about both guys this week and how healthy they are or they aren't. Let's go to Mac Zach in Oakland. Mac Zach in Oakland. What's going on, man? Wants to answer the buyer's remorse question. Hey.
What's up, fellas? Hey, Evan, how's it going? First time talking to you.
What's up, man?
So anyway, I do have buyer's remorse, but, you know, not really that much. I just don't think that they should have paid Brock Purdy as much. What I see is Kyle Shanahan fundamentally is a great schemer for a pocket passer. Now, when we had Jimmy G back there, you know, he was delivering the mail on time, you know, down the field. It was beautiful. But, you know, one fundamental flaw that the 49ers have is they keep getting these linemen off the scrap heap. And so they get the quarterbacks killed. And what happened when we got Brock Purdy, his quickness and his suddenness, you know, allowed him to, you know, deliver on the off-schedule plays. But, you know, basically if he's in the pocket, he's a midget. So that's why you see tip passes and overthrows because he can't, you know, get the trajectory right to get the ball to the receiver. And so basically what Mac Jones is doing is he's one of these big guys that can, you know, stand the delivery. He's not that mobile, which is perfect for Kyle Shanahan's offense, and that's why he's having this success. So I don't think that, you know, it's a bad thing having Brock Purdy as a quarterback. It's just that they overpaid for a guy that's just, you know, really good with the off-schedule stuff. And that's my two cents on it.
Appreciate it, Mac Zach. Thanks for the call. And he's no factor with the off-schedule stuff if he can't run. So you got to wait till he gets healthy to put him out there again.
Yeah, I mean, look, what they did, especially their first two drives against the Rams, that was incredible. Like, but to your point, and you bring this up a lot, Stani, like how much of that was script? And it went according to the script. And then after that, the faucet kind of got turned off. Now, Mac didn't turn over the ball, which is, I think, the one thing that really has separated himself in a lot of people's eyes from Brock so far is that he has not made the big mistake. He's put the ball on the ground once. I think he's thrown one pick. But he hasn't made the boneheaded play, which Brock Purdy did multiple times against Jacksonville and I think did once against Seattle.
Let's go to Jonathan in Sausalito. Finish up here on Brock. What's going on, Jonathan? How you doing, man?
Hey, not too bad. You know, I had buyer's remorse before we signed him. Didn't think we should have signed him to that contract in the first place. He had more years on his contract. Why not wait it out, see what would have happened this year, which is what we're seeing. To me, he's just a guy who's small, slight build for the position, looking to be injury-prone. And when you're looking at quarterbacks, not just quarterbacks, but football players, you want big, strong, rugged dudes. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson coming to mind, Justin Herbert. The bigger, the stronger you are, the more you can take, probably the longer you play, and the more games you play and don't miss.
I mean, all those are
sounded like us at Pier 39 on Saturday. A lot of wind. By the way, Justin Herbert had a pass tipped at the goal line yesterday. Might have cost him the game. Turned into a pick.
Does that happen a lot?
He's 6'6".
But does that happen a lot?
Yes, he gets his passes batted like a lot of quarterbacks do. Brock Purdy might happen more than others, but just saying.
Boy, we got to get Purdy back. Otherwise, the season's a wash.
Hey, sounds like Mac Jones has got this. He's got this thing right where he wants it.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun week to see how Kyle Shanahan talks about the quarterbacks. All right.
He's not going to say anything.
Yeah, but you'll be able to read into it. You'll be able to read into it. Speaking of reading into something, you want to read into the Warriors preseason game real quick on the
other
side?
I know you do. Well, I know you do.
I can do any number of things. We can go baseball playoffs if you want.
They were actually quite exciting yesterday. Yeah, I know you didn't watch because you're busy watching.
I saw Scooble get hit.
You're watching a documentary. No, you heard about Scooble getting hit. You didn't watch.
You're wrong. I didn't watch baseball. I was watching the football game last night and the Warriors game.
So I was right.
Right. Baseball's we don't even have a team in the playoffs in baseball. So the higher priority is the football game that affects the Niners. See, it's about priorities. I'll teach you how I make my priorities on the other side. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I never walked into a room and said, I'm the leader, I'm the lead dog, I'm the bad mother and all that.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson today. And we spent a lot of time talking about the Niners. They won this past weekend and every other team in the NFC West lost. And the Golden State Warriors had their first preseason game last night. They beat the Lakers. 103. Is that right?
That is right.
Okay.
You locked in? You ready for the season?
I watched the first quarter. Thought they looked pretty good.
So you saw their new starting lineup? Oh, wait. Or was it their old starting lineup?
Well, it's always going to be an old starting lineup. Steph Curry, Moses Moody, Pods, Butler, Green at center.
Yeah, that's the old one.
First game of the year.
Not the oldest one, but it's the old one. Were you surprised that Horford didn't start?
A little bit, but I figure maybe he didn't get enough practice in. But yeah, a little bit.
Played 14 minutes. It was a plus 13.
What stuck out last night?
Oh, the backdoor pass he had to Steph. A little give and go on the side.
Horford, I think, is going to help when he plays, for sure, because in all of the dynasty, if you go back 15 years, have the Warriors ever had a center who could shoot threes like Horford and defend on the interior?
Yeah,
like
Kevin Horford? Durant.
Okay. Like, why do you do that?
Because they basically played with him sometimes, you know, at the four or the five. They played small. They played without a center, but he might have been then in some possessions.
Okay, and I'll say this. Al Horford's a better three-point shooter than Kevin Durant.
You don't believe
so
that.
So he's more of a stretch five. No, I think Horford's going to give him some. Moody was really good last night. He had 19 points. Curry can still shoot the ball. Jimmy Butler kind of went through the motions, but he's fine. I like this team a little bit on paper, to tell you the truth. I do feel like it makes a lot of sense. They've got a starting five, and it feels like they've got a legitimate backup at every position. Whether it's Melton or Hield, Kuminga, Horford Post, GP2, they got 10 guys who can play on this team, and they may need them all. Because they're going to have to manage this season, clearly, with three guys on the team that are pretty old.
Yeah, I mean, the guy that stood out the most last night was Moses Moody. I think if this is someone who can shoot it the way he did last night, I'm not saying he's going to go 5 for 7 from three every single night, but it looked like his shot was a little quicker. He had that one curling three off the top of the key that got it out quick, was not on balance when he took it. Nothing but nylon. If Moses Moody is going to shoot the ball well this year, I think that gives them a lot of flexibility with what they can do, because they can play bigger, they can play smaller. I know Kerr talked about why they started the five that they did, and they're probably going to see time, but this team lacked shooting last year, especially when they got Jimmy Butler and he played as many minutes as he did, because he's not a great three-point shooter.
Right.
I think that's why they went out and got Horford. I think that's why last year they played a lot of Quentin Post. Because they don't have guys who can knock down threes. And if Moses Moody is going to be one of those dudes, plus he's a solid perimeter defender, you know, we think about the older guys and them moving on and maybe declining a little bit. But if the early returns on someone like Moses Moody are that, then I think it unlocks a whole different part of this team.
Yeah. Moody is somebody that Kerr wants to play on the ball. And if you look at when the Warriors have had success, they've always been able to do a pretty good job against penetration. And the last couple of years, they haven't been great at that. Remember last year when Moody was talking about his defense, and he talked about the one thing he was doing?
He widened his stance. Or maybe he did something with it. Either
he narrowed his stance so that he could cover more ground each direction. And yeah, I mean, I got a kick out of that last year. But the bottom line is, if Moody can be that guy in any way, shape, or form, like Klay Thompson used to be that guy, then the Warriors have a little something, because they have not done well against the point of attack. They just haven't. So if Moody can fill that role, Now you're getting a player who is starting to become multidimensional. And maybe that's what happens to a player when they get to their fifth, sixth year in the league. And I think we're starting to see Moody settle into, you know, a consistent role on this team, whether it's going to be a starter or sub, I don't know. It sounds like Kerr really wants to start him. But Moody's going to play. Moody's going to play 20, 25 minutes a night, I would think, on this team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little less concerned about what he does defensively than how he stays. Like, he's going to stay on the floor because I think it's going to be what he does on the offensive side. I'm not really worried about him. I think he's shown that he's been able to pick up quick guards, forwards, you know, might have put on a little more weight this summer. He's going to get better. And I'm not really worried about that end of the floor. But last year in the playoffs, he shot 33% from three over 12 games. And where he started originally against Houston, then taken out of the starting lineup because he couldn't stay on the floor because he couldn't score and he couldn't space the floor. There was a couple of games where it looked like he was just a deer in headlights against Houston and Minnesota. And I expect that to change this year as well because now he's got postseason experience, like real, where he's a factor postseason experience. But he's got to be able to shoot it. Otherwise, I do think that Kerr is going to go elsewhere. You know, that's the other thing too. It's, yes, they have a lot more depth on this team, but it also means that if you're not playing well, there's someone else that's going to take your spot. That's why Buddy Hield played a lot at the end of last season. I think it's because they needed shooting on the floor. And so if Moses Moody can be more of a knockdown guy this year, I think that's going to help the Warriors, but also help him get playing time more.
Yeah, this from the 650 on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line. If we're counting on Moses, we're in trouble. See, I don't necessarily subscribe that way. And because when I look at, okay, you got the three good players, you know, the veteran players, then you got Horford, so he's an outlier. When I look at Moody, and I look at Pods, Moody, Kuminga, who else is a young guy? Post, Trace Jackson Davis. I actually feel like when Kerr goes to Moody of those five, I'm not saying he's the best player of those five, but I think Steve Kerr believes he knows more of what he's going to get out of Moody than any of those other four guys. And it's, to me, one of the reasons why Moody's probably going to play a fair amount this year. If he shoots the ball well, great, but he's also the kind of guy who can defend a little bit. If he's not making shots. So, like, I think when Kerr looks down his bench in a crazy way and he sees Moody and he sees Kuminga, or he sees Moody and he sees, I don't know about Pods because he likes Pods, but I think he loves, like, how stable Moses Moody is. Like, the worst he's going to play is when he's not making threes. He's still going to be solid in other areas, and then when he shoots the ball well, now he's really helping you.
Yeah, but I also think that he's got to do that. You know, I mean,
he does. What did he shoot last year from three?
I think it was around league average, which was close to 37. So, looking at Moses Moody, he was last year, 37.4.
Okay,
so he's. I think that can improve.
I'd love to see that get up near 40.
If I was going to bet on any of the young guys to have a, you could call it a leap year,
yeah,
or just a year where he becomes a guy, Moses would be my choice.
Of
Pajemski, Kuminga, Post, you could throw TJD in there if you want. Moses Moody's the dude. I think of those five or four impact young players, Moses Moody's the guy that I would put my money on to take the biggest leap this year.
I think he's going
to... Because I think Kerr wants him to start.
Yeah, I do,
because I think
too.
In his perfect world, he is, to your point, that not Klay Thompson replacement, but if he shoots it well from three, he's more likely to play the two.
Correct. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. 888-957-9570. Is the number. It was a football Sunday yesterday, but the Warriors had their first preseason game. They beat the Lakers. Steve Kerr started a very small lineup. He talked about wanting Moses Moody to defend the ball, a little bit like Klay Thompson used to do. I'll tell you what, I was watching the ESPN broadcast last night, and at the start of the fourth quarter, Moody did an interview. And it was, to me, it was very interesting because the sideline guy, I think it was George Sedano, asked him about, you know, Steve Kerr's trust level in him and that Steve seems to trust him. And Moody was like, it took a long time. You know, it was a lot of hard work to earn that trust. He said it happened over years and years. And, you know, it just made me think a little bit about Moody, how, man, he just, between him and Kuminga, both of whom, like, haven't really been handed a lot. And I'm not saying Kuminga hasn't handled it well, because I think he actually has. But Moody has just been, he has been the consummate professional since the day he started here in Golden State. And I probably shouldn't have even mentioned Kuminga, because I don't want to compare the two, because I do think Kuminga has been pretty good, too, in terms of being a teammate and his demeanor and all that stuff. But Moody came into the league a pro, it felt like. He knew when he came into the NBA that he was going to give up a lot of playing time, because obviously he was a big boy at Arkansas for 1 year. And the first couple of years he wasn't playing, and he said, I knew this was going to happen, but I still wanted to play in this league. So there's something about Moody that you might be right about the jump he's ready to make, because he's at that fifth or sixth year where some guys take that leap.
I mean, I think it's fair to also, like, they're in the same draft class. Moses Moody has never had his agent go to bat for him.
Who is Moody's agent?
Rich Paul.
Is it really?
I was going to say, he's a Bill clutch Duffy? Client. No, he's a clutch client.
Well, he's not going to be for long taking that,
taking that 3 for 33.
Exactly.
No, but it's just interesting. It's like, you would think that with all wrapped around Rich Paul, that Moses Moody would be someone that would speak more through the media, through his, it's never happened. There's never been a story about Moody being unhappy, even though I'm sure he has been. Every time he's been asked, like the last couple of years that Moses has been asked about, like, he has a big game, right? Typically it's when one of the guys have been out and he has a big game, and it's like, how'd you feel about your performance? Do you think that this is a, you know, like a role that could be suited for you? And he always would kind of push back and say, well, it's been a journey in this league.
Right.
And, you know, my role has changed a lot. He's never buried Kerr. And you could tell sometimes there's some hints of like, yeah, I should be playing more, yada, yada. But he's never complained about it. He's just kept his head down, worked really hard, and to the point where I think he's going to be a big part of this season. Maybe not the reason why the Warriors go as far as they do or don't, but he's going to play a role, I think. And that's just a credit to him. He's never pointed the finger. He's never had his agent or any representation speak for him. He's just gone about his business.
Yeah, this from the 707 on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. That's right. He said, he was, just a little more context to the Moody interview, he was asked after the game about, you know, the transition from, you know, a guy who didn't play much early in his career to somebody who now is going to be relied on. And, you know, he said, yeah, it's been tough under Kerr. And then he said, it's a testament to the work I've put in.
Yep.
I thought that was interesting, too, because in a way, he didn't throw Kerr under the bus, but it was a way of acknowledging, I didn't expect any favors when I was here, and I don't think I got any, and that makes it all the more worthwhile that now I'm contributing more. This from the 925, this is completely unfair, and I don't believe it either. 925 says, Moody is a team player, Jonathan Kuminga is not. That's too harsh. That's too harsh. I would never say that Jonathan Kuminga is not a team player. I would say that Jonathan Kuminga is a young player that's trying to find his spot here in the NBA. Came onto a tough team, but I do not think Jonathan Kuminga is a bad teammate.
Well, again, I understand why people compare them, because they were taken in the same class, but they're two totally different people.
No doubt.
Different backgrounds. The one thing that I... What do you give me for this?
Yeah.
So one of... I don't know if it was Guru's concerns. I've heard people talk about There's a void left in the locker room with Kevon Looney leaving this team. And Kevon has always been a guy that has just gone about his business. It's one of the reasons why we love him. And I think a lot of people were sad that he left. I know that Al Horford was brought in to sort of be the, you know, maybe kind of veteran or basically Looney replacement. But I think as far as locker room impact and just the steady, everyday presence that Kevon Looney is and we know him to be, I actually think that Moses Moody has a chance to fill that. Because his career arc has kind of reminded me of Kevon's a bit.
Mm.
Where he was taken higher. He certainly got more gifts. But he's impacted every single game that he's played in. He hasn't got it easy. He's moved up slowly but surely. And now this year, I think the coaching staff, because he's earned their trust by keeping his head down and doing the work, is going to be given the opportunity. Much in the way that it took, you know, Kevon. Like, I know he was impacting games in the playoffs as a young guy, but he wasn't really starting until, what, his fourth, fifth, or sixth season? And that's kind of where Moses Moody is.
I always liked Looney. I don't necessarily think they're going to miss him. I mean, I think Hal Horford with a ring can kind of handle that role. The other thing is Horford gets to come on a team as a champion. And so all the younger guys, Pods, Moody, Kuminga, I mean, they've got to acknowledge that.
I'm not talking about the basketball. I just mean, like, Looney's locker is next to Curry's. I mean, you walk in and there's Kevon Looney. You know, every time you pop over to talk to you guys, it's like you're just happy to see Kevon Looney. I think there's a little Moses Moody comp there.
I'm not gonna.
Well, you can if you want. You can shoot it down.
No, I mean, we forget where Looney was 5 years ago, which is where Moody is now. Like, Looney became that sage over, you know, year. How long was he here? 8, 10 years, Looney? You know, this is right around the time where Looney started to be a mainstay one way or the other and established that. I know this, that
there's also a relation between. How old is Moses Moody?
Like, I would guess he's 25.
I think he's younger than that.
Okay.
Kevon Looney, after his 10th NBA season,
is 47?
28 years old.
Oh, that's right.
I just think there's a comparison between how old they look and sound and how old they actually are. Like, Moses is a young guy.
Looney's 28?
Yeah. Might be 29 now. He hasn't broken 30 yet.
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, Moses Moody's 23 years old.
Moody's 23?
Sounds like he's far beyond his years.
By the way, happy birthday, Jonathan Kuminga. Isn't he 23 today?
Oh, is Draymond Green here?
Michael Jordan, you mean?
Oh, sorry, I thought 23 in the Bay was Green.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, happy birthday, Jonathan.
He changed his number, too.
Now, why do you think he did that?
I don't like it.
Why? Why don't you like it?
It tells me that he just got a paycheck and that's how he's spending his money, changing his number. You know, you got to pay for that in the NBA.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's because he changed it to number one, which means he's only looking after number one.
I wouldn't have even said that.
Oh, you thought it.
No.
Okay.
Kuminga's fine.
He looked all right last night, right?
Sure. Sure. Yep.
Come on. Oh, someone in the chat is saying he wore number one in high school. So,
gotcha. Let's go to City Boy. City Boy's in San Francisco, of course. What's up, City? How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. Hope you're well.
Yeah.
Man, I'm so happy basketball season's here. It's like I'm just excited, man. You haven't heard from me in a while because I've been waiting for hoops to talk about. But, yeah, went to the game last night.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Sweet.
Yeah, the atmosphere was great in the building. I mean, it was like a regular season game. It was insane how many people were there and how into it they were. I mean, for preseason, I know it was the first one, and it's against the Lakers, so that's, you know, that played into it, right? But that was fun. And let me tell you, if I could just hit on a couple things real quick, Al Horford looks svelte, you know? He does not look his age. And if, you know, if they're asking for 22 minutes a night out of him, I think he can have a really solid year and really, really, really help this team a lot, and help Draymond stay fresh as well. And we need that shooting. And I mean, Quentin Post, God love him. He just doesn't do enough things well to, you know, I mean, I know he stretches the floor, but the rest of his game, just he needs work, as big men always do when they first come into the league, right? So not saying he won't be good, but Horford is just a sight for sore eyes. We've been needing somebody like him for a long time. You know, Moody's defense looked great. They were blowing the whistle on him quick. I think he had three fouls in, like, the first 5 minutes. I mean, they were calling all the little hand checks and stuff that he does. But, I mean, he was shooting the ball with confidence. He was getting up in dudes, and it was really great to see Moody playing well. And I just wanted to say Kuminga. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, when you're in the arena, you can watch in the timeouts. You know, it's not on TV where you hardly see him. So we were kind of keeping an eye on him, seeing how he was interacting with coach and with his teammates and his vibe. And his vibe was amazing. I mean, it's like he's had a huge weight lifted off of him, getting this thing, putting this thing behind him. He was a little rusty, but, you know, I mean, I don't know if you guys saw it on TV, but he was really giving effort on rebounding and defense. And I mean, it seemed like a point of emphasis for him. I mean, he was getting after it. He was really defending. He was trying to rebound. He didn't get a ton of rebounds, but you saw him in the mix. He was tipping balls. He was mixing it up, getting after loose balls. I mean, you can tell whatever Steve had to say. I mean, it seems as though, and it's only one preseason game, but it seems as though he took it to heart. And I think he wants minutes this year, man, and he's going to fight for them. And that's what we need out of him. So, yeah, that's exciting. You know, Podziemski, I see his, you know, it's funny because when you guys were talking about Moody and how hard he had, how hard it was to get minutes out of Steve Kerr and gain his trust. And maybe it's just a product of the position he plays and the Warriors needed guard play. But, you know, and I don't hate on Podziemski. I actually like his game sometimes. He tends to drive into like four dudes a lot and kind of throw the ball away. And you're like, what are you doing? But, I mean, and his defense is, you know, I mean, he gets in there and gets charges. But I see his minutes going down this year, maybe significantly if Melton's
really
fully healthy.
Oh, we'll see about that, City Boy. We'll see about that. Pods is a starter in this league. Future all-star, according to the owner. I got three more things I want to bring up about the Warriors.
Yeah, and him.
On the other side. But if you're not doing anything right now, and you're not because you're listening to us, why don't you head over to YouTube and Twitch to see myself and Evan Giddings. All you got to do is search 957, and while you're there, download and subscribe for all our great content at 957 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.